Can I try it now?
Yeah.
Generally helps if you turn it on. No. All right. Okay. Just trying to be respectful and turn it off when it needs to be off. Then I forget. So if somebody wants to, when I start talking, say, is your mic on? That'll be okay with me. All right? I need help. And I won't refuse it. Okay. So Satan is an imitator, but we create problems of our own. That's why we need to be walking in the Spirit. That's why we need to check with the Lord. Is this the way? Didn't our Lord do that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He didn't get down on his knees and pray because he was afraid of what was going to happen. He wanted to make sure that was the way. Is this what you want me to do, Father? Your will, not mine. See, that's what I believe he was doing. Others don't, but they have other beliefs. That's okay with me. I believe what I believe. Praise God. Okay, so now we've looked at a couple of these beasts. We're looking at now in verse 11 and 12, we're going to be looking at the beast from the earth. Now, it was a beast that came up out of the sea. The sea represented all the pit of demons that exists, right? They're contained somewhere. So he came up out of that pit. That is the Antichrist, all right? The false Christ. Now, this beast here is going to come from the earth. He's going to, I think, end up being the false prophet. So these false beasts are trying to imitate the Godhead. And that's what we have to be aware of. All right, so verse 11 and 12. John is writing and he says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, or a ram if you prefer, but it says lamb, and spoke like a dragon. Have you ever heard a dragon speak? Me either, so I don't know what that would be like. And probably frightening at the very least. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound, know that first beast had a head wound that was fatal, appeared to be fatal anyway, and so he was restored back to life. Well, this is the final false prophet. There are other false prophets out there today. You knew that, right? A lot of people speak things about God and about Jesus. They don't have a clue. They don't have the connection. They're one of those people that God says, depart from me, I never knew you, because they haven't accepted his salvation through his shed blood and his given body, all right? So they don't have a clue. But this is the final false prophet. He will speak to promote the Antichrist and continue the deception over all the people, because that's the goal of Satan. I want to deceive all them. I'm going down, but I'm going to take as many of you as I can with me. So don't be deceived. This false prophet has been given all the power of the first beast, directed at demanding that all the people of earth worship the Antichrist. That's his job. I'm going to make sure that everybody's worshiping him. And if you're not worshiping him, you're done. Okay? I don't even know if they'll ask you, why aren't you doing anything? They'll probably just, that'll be it. So that's verse 11 and 12. 13. Any questions on that? Or if you're just dying to make a comment, we can entertain that. Just keep it brief, please. Verse 13. This false prophet performs great signs so that he makes fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. So he has some power, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded. Make an image. Make an idol. That's what he's really telling them to do. Make a statue that represents him. Make an idol of this beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So now we know that the Antichrist was wounded by a sword. He wasn't shot, he was wounded with a sword. Amen? He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. So he's going to make this thing appear to come alive. We'll get to that in a minute. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So either you worship or you die. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And you know what that number is, right? But we're going to get to that later too, I think. All right. This is Satan's false prophet counterfeiting the miracles of Jesus and Moses and other saints. He's just imitating what he's seen. Well, all of those people in the Old Testament were very well impressed with what they saw. I'll just imitate that and I'll take their faith away from God. Amen? That's what he's trying to do. He's deceiving people on earth to make an image of the wounded beast for worship. Don't worship God anymore. I'm going to set this beast in the temple. We're going to worship that. That's what the purpose is. Somehow this false prophet makes the image appear to come to life and speak. Did you know right now that AI is going crazy in the world, artificial intelligence? They have lifelike looking artificial beings. And they're making them so that they can pick up knowledge and use it against you. Now, they won't tell you that. No, they're just learning from you. They're learning from you. But eventually, they may be able to take control. That's a very real concern of a lot of people that are knowledgeable about AI. All right? So all that. Remember Arnold Schwarzenegger and the war over there with the robots and all that? That's where they're thinking, okay? Now, do things we see in the movies ever come true in the future? Yeah. They do. Humans have, God, let me just say, God has given humans a unique ability to imagine things and then work towards making it real. Yeah. You know what God said about humans back at the Tower of Babel when they were building that tower up to heaven? He said there's nothing that they put their hand to that they cannot achieve. That's what God said of us. Because we're created like Him. We are created to make things come into existence. That's what He did, right? He created us that way. We have His attributes. All right? So, somehow this image is going to appear to come back to life. This is the image that is set up in the temple at Jerusalem. The abomination of desolation. That's what this is. The statue. Refusal to worship the image is grounds for capital punishment. And they will do it swiftly. It won't be a long trial and you're waiting in jail for 30 years for them to throw the switch like they do now. No, it'll be very fast. At this time, all people on earth are made to accept the mark of the beast in order to buy and sell anything that they need. You have to have that mark. Now this means that false prophet, the Antichrist, they're going to, well, maybe not them personally, but they're going to have their agents go through the world and make people take this mark. So people that are alive and don't want the mark are going to have to figure out how to get around that. They're going to have to hide. They're going to have to lie. They're going to have to be evasive. They're going to have to do everything they can to avoid that if they know the results of it, right? Because if you don't take the mark, you're going to be killed. That's what they want.
I can picture when that time comes that there's going to be a lot of people that don't have the mark. There's going to be a lot of undercover buying.
Black market.
Trading, yeah.
Black market. Right.
It's probably going to go on a lot.
You know it's going to go on. Listen, it's already getting to the point now where what are a lot of people being told to do? Cash in your IRAs and convert it to gold and silver and platinum and stuff, right? You hear that on the radio all the time. Convert it into precious metal. You know what? My problem with that is this. You take your precious metal down and try to trade it for something, What are you actually doing? You're telling everybody, I have precious metal at home. And you know what they're thinking? Wonder how much of this he has at home. Maybe I ought to drop by there sometime late at night and just drop in and find out. Because once you start using it, you reveal the fact that you have it. And so you're dealing on, you know, black market, shady characters, right? You can't trust them. So, I don't know, maybe it's fatalistic thinking, but I'm thinking, why bother? One way or another, they're going to figure it out. And you're going to end up in the morgue anyway. I don't know. I guess my feeling is, trust God. Trust God. What's the worst that can happen? Somehow you manage to stay here. That's the worst that can happen. But you know, if they're going to execute you, I say do it with a sword. It's over. No nerve connection. No. You might have a headache, I guess, but other than that, in a couple of seconds, it's done. So, no fear. Isn't that what Jesus said? Do not fear. Fear not. Trust the Lord. Amen? He might take you out of here before then anyway, so trust the Lord. So, otherwise, all people on earth have to take this mark in order to buy or sell. Did you know that in ancient Rome, that the slaves, they marked them with brands or other ways so that even if they were free, even once they got their freedom, they would have these marks and they would have to show those marks to buy and sell. Nothing new. Nothing new under the sun, right? Isn't that what the Lord said, Curtis?
You said earlier that this devil thing is a copycat. Remember the mark that Cain had? I wonder.
Well, Cain's mark was a mark of protection. God gave him that mark so that people would know who he was and that he was under God's protection. That's the way I understood that. Am I on the right track, Ryan, or way out there in left field? So these marks, so are you saying it's an imitation? Satan's imitating that? If you got the mark, you're safe. Right. Sure. You got it. You got it. All right? I don't mind. I think Jim has got an answer for you. I have no idea. I don't know how he's going to do it. All I know is he's going to do it. See, it doesn't do me any good to speculate what it's going to be. Could be anything. I'm not going to spend my time speculating. I'm going to spend my time in this, right? That's the best way to go with it. Okay, so we know it's coming, don't we? We must prepare for it. What's the best way to prepare for it? Trust the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, spirit, everything you are. Trust the Lord. Be saved. Love God with all you are and your neighbor as yourself. So what are you going to do? You're going to tell them you need to get saved. You can't be so blunt. They'll just think you're an idiot. But try. Try to love them into doing it, okay? And then in verse 18 it says this. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. It's a 3-digit code. So far, nobody's figured it out that I'm aware of. Or if they have, they're not letting the cat out of the bag yet. So, don't spend your time trying to figure that out. Spend your time in the Word and trust the Lord. Amen? No person knows what verse 18 means. Nobody knows. They can't figure it out. Now, if Einstein can't figure it out, I know I don't have a shot at it. So I'm not going to spend any time on it, right? It's not necessary to know, is it? It's not necessary to know. But what is necessary to know is Jesus is the Savior that shed His blood gave his body that you could be saved from all that. That's what you need to focus on, and that's what you need to tell people that you run into. Okay? So you don't need to know the number of the beast or his name, because the actions of the beast will clearly identify it. Will it not? Will they not? I think they will. Okay, questions? Yes.
There must be a lot of people up in Hernando County have studied this to some extent, because at one time their their phone number precinct was 352, and they were starting to run out of numbers, and they chose 666 in place of that. And everyone that was given that number, well, not everyone, but a lot of them, all complained they didn't
right.
want that phone number.
Right.
It started at 666.
Right.
And that wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't. And because I remember I had something and it had that number in it, and they asked me, is that going to be a problem? I said, no, it's not going to be a problem for me. I know Jesus. So I kept it. I can't remember now what it was even. It was in part of a credit card or something, I think. I don't worry about it because I know who has my back, right? Yes. Praise the Lord. He's got my number. That's right. Good observation there, Jim. Okay, so somehow I ended up with chapter 12 here, and I need 14.
Here, you can take that one.
Okay, but mine was a single copy that was red and white, red and black. All right, doesn't matter.
That'll work.
Where is it?
Oh,
I'd like to have it. I probably did something crazy with it. I think I stuck it in my computer now that I remember. See, if you give me enough time, I can remember. Oh, where's the computer, though? Here it is.
You are 70.
Listen, I play this game at home all the time. None of you do, though, do you? No, I didn't think so. All right, going to chapter 14, moving right ahead. So, we now know about the Antichrist and the beasts. Now, this section is going to be about the Lamb of God and the 144,000. We're going to talk about them in here, okay? Starting at verse 1. Verse 1, then in chapter 14, then I looked and beheld a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's, the Lamb's father's name written on their foreheads. So here's the Lamb of God and the 144,000 that have been spreading the Word of God, right? Jesus, the Lamb of God, standing on the Temple Mount. Mount Zion is where the temple is. They call that the Temple Mount, all right? That's what they're standing on. What does that show us? Well, it shows us they've moved forward in time. Because now they're all gathered together in one place. They've been out in the world witnessing for the Lord. So now we've moved forward in time. They've done some of that witnessing, and now they're here together. So we move forward in time. But still, I think this is before the visual return of Christ. Why would I think that? Because when Christ returns, we're going to recognize Him as the human form of Christ, not the Lamb. So I think this is move forward in time, but not far enough for the return of Christ yet. Does that make sense? Okay, just trying to use some logic and thinking power here. I don't have a lot left, but I try to use it. Okay, yes.
Well, because then he'll be coming in the clouds with us, right?
Yes.
On horses.
That's correct. So see, you have knowledge that when you read this stuff, think about it, and it'll make sense with the knowledge you've already gotten, right? Okay. So, Christ in the form of the sacrificial lamb That's what he was. He was the sacrifice for our sin, the propitiation for our sin. So he appears here as the sacrificial lamb with the 144,000 Jewish servants of God who have God's name on their forehead. See the imitation that's going on? That's what he does, all right? So they have God's name on their forehead. They have moved forward in time during the Great Tribulation, second half, right? Second 3.5 years. And are still intact. They're all there. They've all survived. 144,000. And haven't lost a one. That makes me think something else, but I'm not going to go into that now. 144,000. However, Christ has yet to return. He is in the form of the Lamb because salvation is still available. Yes, it's still available to anyone who will turn to Him as their Savior. So He's still saving people, even in the middle of all that horrible stuff, right? Isn't He wonderful? What a loving God we have. Verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. The voice of attention. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is getting the attention of the people that are there on earth. The 144,000 heard it. Other people heard it. They heard it, right? It's symbolic. The water, the Holy Spirit as water. Water. Anytime you see water in the Scripture, and it's water for one of two things, or both. It's water for drinking, or it's water for cleansing. If it's that kind of water, it's the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Out of your belly will come rivers of living water. That's the Holy Spirit, right? So when you see that, now you know. And I've given you a clue to help you understand some things you read in the Scripture. Where did I get that clue? Well, when I go out in the barn and feed animals at night, I turn the radio on and I listen to Christian radio. And I wish I could remember his name. I listen to him often, but I don't know his name. He's a black pastor up somewhere up north. And man, he can preach the word. Wow, is he a hot preacher?
Shepherd?
What is it? I don't know. Don't ask me to remember it. I can't remember. So, but let's don't play that game. But I heard this just last night. And I went back and revised these notes to let you know. He made that statement. He was talking to his congregation. He said, when you see the symbol of water in Scripture, if it's drinking water or cleansing water, it's representing the Holy Spirit. I said, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. And I put it right in here just so you could know too. How about that? You see, that's how we learn in the body of Christ. We hear something that makes sense and appears to be true, and we can test it and check in the Scriptures, and then we can share it with one another, and we got more evidence, right? Okay, good job. The Holy Spirit is saying here, listen up. Something's coming you need to hear about. That's what He's telling these people on earth. This voice of the Holy Spirit was accompanied by the thunderous sound of water, evidence of the saving power of God. The saving power of God moving, and with the music of innumerable harps. It doesn't say how many harps, but they could be heard all over the world. So you know there were tons of them, right? Couldn't even count them all. So now we have the Holy Spirit as well as 144,000, as well as any believers that are still alive on earth. Because you know what they're doing? They're trying to share Christ with people around there, right? Because they have it now. So now the Holy Spirit's getting involved as well. Then verse 3. They sang, as it were, a new song. Well, who's the they? It's the 144,000, okay? They're the they. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne of God, before the four living creatures. That's the four living creatures around the throne of God, okay? And the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. It's a special song just for them that God has given them. The 144,000 were singing a unique kind of praise. It had never been heard before. Never. And they're praising God with this new song. And their song was heard before God's throne. Now they're up on the Mount Zion. They're up there at the Temple Mount. God's on His throne, but He's hearing this praise. You know God's omnipotent, right? Mm-hmm. So He hears that praise. He hears our praise when we're praising God here. We could whisper that praise. He would hear it, right?
He wants it loud.
Yes, but He likes it. He likes us shouting out there and praising His name. And we will, right? So it's heard by those beasts. It's heard at God's throne. It's heard by those around His throne. The elders, the four living creatures, and other innumerable angels around God's throne. How many angels does God have? Probably can't count them all. Don't waste your time. They're all hearing this new, unique song from the 144,000. Makes you wonder what it is, doesn't it? You think we'll get to hear it when we get there? I hope so. Verse 4 and 5. This is what Scripture says about these 144,000. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men. They were Jewish men. They were redeemed from among men. Being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. How can they be without fault before the throne of God? Well, obviously they've been washed in the blood. They've been redeemed. They're trusting Jesus, right? That's how you're before the throne of God. That's how you're going to get into heaven or wherever God is or wherever Jesus is. We usually call it heaven. But that's how you're going to get in. You're going to appear and God's going to look at you and He's going to say, "Oh, you look just like my son. Come on in. Come on in. Sit at my table. Live in my house. Put your feet up. You're welcome," right? Now, He probably won't say all that, but He'll be glad you're there, okay? First fruits. Being first fruits, these were believing Jews, messianic Jews, as it were. Yes, they were Jews, but they believed that Jesus had come, and there He was, and they're serving Him. They are professing faith in the grace of the Lord. They have been forgiven without doing all that other sacrificial stuff that they're usually supposed to do, right? They don't have to do that anymore because the Lord has taken care of that once and for all. That's what the Scripture says. He gave Himself once and for all. As virgins, these men had never had sexual interaction with others. Now, in the past, you could say they never had sexual interaction with women. But you can't say that today. Because everything goes in the world today. It's terrible. It's horrible. That's why we're heading for the wrath of God. Because they don't care. But they are virgins. The words, not defiled with women, indicate they were all men. So we don't have to have that debate. The ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes, evidently indicating their unwavering loyalty and partnership in following the Lord. No deceit and without fault. That's a comparison. You know what they're being compared to? The sacrificial lambs that were taken into the temple and sacrificed in lieu of the blood of Jesus. Those lambs had to be spotless, without fault, unblemished, perfect, as it were, or they couldn't be used in sacrifice in the former temple. So that was the character that they had. How could they have that kind of character? With God, nothing is impossible. See, if God needs something, He takes care of it. If God wants something, He takes care of it. If He can use you to take care of it, He'll use you. But you got to be walking in the Spirit, right? Make yourself available for use by walking in the Spirit. That's how you do it, right? Okay, verse 8. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Fallen. The system has fallen, yes. No, but if I did, we'll have to come back and recap it next week. Must be that computer.
Must be
that computer. Six and seven. Oh, yeah, I don't know why that didn't print. Maybe it'll show up later, but I'll tell you what. I can probably remember most of it. Here's what it says, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. So another angel means it's not some special angel that God created just for that purpose. It's like the angels that He's using. Angels are messengers. You know that, right? They're messengers of God. He uses them however He wants to, right? So He is using this angel to fly through the atmosphere of earth. That's where He's flying. And this angel is broadcasting the gospel, right? Because it says, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. So He's broadcasting this out, going around the world, telling everybody. Every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. You know what this reminds me of? All those people that say, well, how's God going to reach all those people out in the middle of nowhere? How's He going to reach those people? Well, listen, God can send an angel to reach those people if He needs to. He can do it. Right? Now, it makes me think, well, let me say this first. Let me go on to verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. You know what this makes me think? It's just about ready to happen. God is right there getting ready to come. Time is precious now. It's going by so quickly that the 144,000 have done their job, but they're not going to be able to do it fast enough now. The other believers that are still left on earth, there are still some believers left on earth. Somehow they've managed to survive. I don't know how, but they have. How do we know that? Because the Lamb of God is still there offering salvation. So there has to be survivors there, right? So their time is so short that God has now dispatched an angel to cover the earth, go around the whole earth and shout the gospel to all the people that need to hear it. All the survivors that are still hanging on.
Yeah.
Hiding in the caves, hiding in the rubble, hiding wherever they can so they can hang on until the Lord comes back, right? That's what's going on here. Don't fear him who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and spirit, or soul, if you prefer. Don't worry about the Antichrist. Yes, he can kill your body, but if you're trusting God, he can't get your spirit. Right? So, then we go to verse 8. Another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen. It's fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The entire worldwide political, economic, and religious kingdom of Satan and his Antichrist has collapsed. It's disintegrated. It was unsustainable to begin with because it was based on false assumptions and false religion and false economics. Don't get me started, okay? It has collapsed. All these were the hope of non-believers. Do you know that's the hope of the world out there today? There's going to be a worldwide government that's going to bring worldwide peace under one God, one benevolent leader, in which the government and God, that false God, will provide all of our needs economically. Praise that God, we won't have to hit a lick at a snake. We can just be here having fun. We'll have everything we need. Don't believe it. But because it was based on Babylon's philosophy and belief. Do you know Babylon is where the Tower of Babel was located? On that plain of Shinar? The birthplace of idolatry and false religion with the Tower of Babel? All of that has come to an end. All of that. So, people that are hoping for that are sadly misled, aren't they? Judged by God for dragging down humanity by its pleasures, infidelity, and rebellion to God's word and salvation under the leadership of Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet. But listen, lawlessness has already begun. It's been going on for a long time. False religion is going on now. There are people now that are applying to their local governments so that they'll be able to do blood sacrifice of animals. Yes, in the United States. They're going to their city council or mayor or whoever they got to go to and say, hey, this is what we want to do. Can we get permission for this? It's crazy, isn't it? So that person in charge should just say, let me connect you with PETA, you know, the people that protect animals. You can deal with them on this. All right. We're going to stop. It's 8 o'clock. So we're going to stop. So we have to remember that we're on verse 9. We're dealing with where the rubber meets the road. Right? It's all going to come down. Sure. Yell it out so we can all hear it.
By this time, a lot of people have taken the sign of the beast.
Yes. Yes.
And then there's other people who are just trying to survive. They don't, or they're saved and they don't believe that. So if somebody has already had the sign of the beast, and they can they change their mind? I don't think so.
No. Once you take the sign, that's it. You're done. You're done. That's it. That's right. Once you accept that, you've made a commitment. You've made a commitment to a false god. God sees that as spiritual fornication. Yeah, they will try to force you to do it. Okay, so that brings up another issue. If you have managed to evade the authorities up to that point, and you're, I don't know, maybe some people will be able to evade on their own. I don't know. You know, some people are kind of tricky that way. But you are holding on either until the Lord comes. That will end it, right? Or if you're a believer and you get caught and refuse it, then you'll be executed. That will end it. Either way, you'll be with the Lord under those circumstances. Of course, we would all prefer that the Lord comes back and we go that way, right? And that's what will happen for us, because we'll be taken in the rapture, and we're going to look at that a little bit next time. Yes?
The best scenario for us is that we don't miss the rapture. We don't have to touch it.
That's right. And see, that's why we should all be out there pounding the pavement, sharing the Lord with whoever we can.
Right.
Listen, this is so funny, because it made me think afterward, maybe that guy was an angel. I don't know. But I was in Rural King one day. Liz was shopping, trying to pick up her bird seed that she needed. And I'm waiting. And I sit down on a stack of something, and I'm sitting there waiting. Had my phone out playing, you know, solitaire. And this guy rolls up in one of those scooter things, right? And we start talking about this, that, and the other, and just chewing the fat, you know. So then he says, okay, I'm going to head out. I'll see you later. So as he starts to go, I said, wait a minute. I said, do you know the Lord? How's your relationship with the Lord? He backed up. He said, oh, it's good. I love the Lord. I'm saved. I believe. And so we talked about that for a while. And then he scooted off, went away. And then I got up to do something, and I thought, there's something else I wanted to tell that guy. So I went looking for him. I searched that whole store. Could not find him. So I said, Lord, was that a test?
Very well.
But at any rate, I thought I'd share that with you, because you never know, but you need to be out there speaking about the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Any other questions? Okay, then let's pray, and we'll go home and dream about being used by the Lord. Amen? So, Father, we do thank you that you've given us your word. You've told us what's going to happen, so that we can expect to know not only what's going to happen, but what we should be doing even now. And we know, Lord, we can sense that the time is getting closer and closer. No, we don't know when it's going to happen, but we just feel like it's coming soon. So, Lord, give us that holy unction. Give us that Holy Spirit spark to go out and mention the Lord, talk about the Lord, ask people how they are with the Lord, ask them if they'd like to be in good stead with the Lord and be saved and know that they will be with Jesus when they leave this place. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help us, Lord, to submit our will to your will and speak for you. Be you to them on earth, Lord. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Keep us safe as we go out now into the world. We give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.